Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Rosa, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Hello, Lisa. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. We saw each other in Arizona at the Paper Organizing Retreat and the certification event,
yes, right? That was amazing. A whole weekend of nothing but paper, and then less of it. It's magical.
Oh my gosh. It's like camp for adults.
It really is. It's nice to have that. There's no other distractions. This is the sole purpose. Let's dig in.
Yes. Yes. It really is. I am so looking forward to doing more of these. I'm so glad that we're having these big in-person events again and just being able to really have some time with each other to get beyond just, you know, like just a few sentences of a conversation. Like those weekends away are just so fun and so energizing for me.
Absolutely. Yep. Great.
So how did you first find Organize 365?
Oh gosh, I think I have dipped my toe in and out for a few years. In 2021, I really dove in and listened to a lot of the Organize 365 podcasts. I had decided to make a big change. I was an elementary teacher for a really long time, 24 years, and decided to try something new, but I didn't know what. When I stopped teaching, I just stopped with no plan. So in the interim, of course, what do? Time on my hands, organize my house, and listen to podcasts while I'm doing it. So that was a lot of the big dive in, getting a lot of information there. And then I had decided to be a professional organizer myself, joined my local NAPO chapter, and you had virtually visited our group a couple of times. And that's when I thought, oh my gosh, I love this way of thinking. I love the functional organizing, that it's not like, not that things can't look pretty, but that's not the goal. Mm-hmm. Our stuff should serve us. So let's make sure that it serves us.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Like almost a parallel thing that I did 10 years prior, where I quit a job, had no idea what I was going to do. So I decided to organize my house, realized I was a professional organizer. So you're the me of 10 years ago.
I think I've always been that. I liked organizing sometimes a little bit too much, hobby organizing sometimes, but I remember being a little kid and getting way more satisfaction of organizing Barbie's clothes than playing with the Barbie. I would rather organize her
stuff. Totally. Totally. Oh my gosh. Totally. And I do that with my grandson. I'm like, let's play. I'm not playing with the toys. I'm organizing the toys. Yeah. Yeah, totally. So Rosa, who lives in your household with you?
It is for the longest time, it has been my husband and a varying number of pets. My husband and I have been together for 18 years, and we are now up to 4 dogs and 4 cats.
Wow.
And just 2 weeks ago, we moved my mom in with us. She had a stroke a few months ago, and she was living in California, and we're in Arizona. So we just brought her in to be with family. So now we've added to our household. So changes.
Yes. Yes. Well, it'll be a nice change. It won't always be easy, but, It's so awesome that you have the capacity both in the space and in the bandwidth to be able to do that.
Absolutely. That has been one of the main things I'm thinking about, just the way things have unfolded the last few years, going from teaching to now having my own business where I can set things up and be flexible. Yeah. The time, that's huge. That is so huge. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you didn't decide to start organizing. You pretty much have always been organizing.
I love that. And that was part of in the classroom when another teacher would say like, oh, I need some help with something. Ooh, let me play with your cabinets, please. And they would think I was odd. But I'm like, no, this is fun. And the workflow of it, just figuring out, okay, where do you want the kids to come in? Where do you want backpacks to go? Let's talk through how things are supposed to work. I find that so fun.
And what grade or what subjects did you teach?
I taught kinder through third, bounced around a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you're in teaching long enough, you're like, all of them, I've taught them all.
Yeah. But definitely finding systems that work for little people to take care of themselves. Adults are not that different. We don't want to put them either.
I was just going to say it. Just, I mean, we're all a 12-year-old at heart, really. And if you can make whatever you're doing at a kindergarten level, as far as implementing, like you will have 100% success rate. Right. The reason the Sunday basket works so well is because I'm a kindergarten teacher. Like, that's why. Like, if I was like a calculus teacher, the Sunday basket would work for like 1% of Americans. But because I'm a kindergarten teacher, it's not that it's a kindergarten skill. It's just that you can make it as simple or as complicated as you want. It has all the color coding and all of that. Like, Right. Yeah. Basically, it's really simple. And then you can make it as complex as you want it to be.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of things with a teaching background, like that's how we are as teachers. Even when you're given a program or something to use, you still end up tweaking things and making it yours, depending on who's in front of you. So it just works so well.
Yes. Okay, well, tell us about, I mean, you are an organized person to begin with. You're a teacher. How can the Organize 365 products, like how did they help you, or how did they give maybe language to what you were already doing?
The Sunday basket is the first piece that I really started using. And honestly, I bought it and unpacked it, got excited, made it pretty. Didn't jump in and use it right away as we do. But I think I bought that a little bit before things started happening with my mom and the whole drop everything, go and figure this out over here and then come back to this state and start figuring things out. Life got a little bit more, you know, more moving parts, more things to keep track of, a lot of paperwork and insurance and all that. So the Sunday basket has been fantastic keeping those things in line. I think one of the things that I didn't understand at first that I really enjoy now is, you know, you dump everything in there as you go, right? During the week, you dump everything in the basket, deal with it on Sunday. I have had usually gotten my mail and I would toss out my junk mail first and then put things in. I almost enjoy leaving the junk mail in there.
Yes.
On Sunday, when I'm going through my stuff, here's my thing. I think what the Sunday basket is doing for me is making me more confident in making decisions. And that physical act on Sunday of going through all this stuff that has come, it's like, it's physically like it's come into your life all week. And that ability to go, not worth it, not worth it, not worth it. Okay, I'll deal with this. This is worth it. Just that reminder of, hey, I'm in charge and I can decide what's worth my time. I need that reminder every week that I get to make choices, and I have to keep making choices. Sometimes it's tiring, mm-hmm. but that ability to make decisions and see what do I want to carry through? What do I want to do now versus a little bit later? That has been fantastic decision-making exercise those muscles.
And are you putting mom's paperwork in with yours, or do you have a separate Sunday basket for
me? Oh, I have a separate Sunday basket. Of course.
Oh, tell us about that.
Okay. That is still, hers is more in the works because I had been putting everything in one basket and trying to just use slash pockets that way. But I'm finding, because my mom is still, she needs a little bit of help physically, but I mean, mentally, she's with it. She's very active. God bless this woman. When I went into, she was in skilled nursing. And then I had to wrap up things in her home and then be able to move her out here. She is super organized.
Yay.
I love that. I know some people in that situation have not been as fortunate. And so they've had to dig through things and find out, you know, to find the important documents. But she had her insurance things. She had medical records, diagnosis. She had the lists of all her medications, and things were just wonderfully laid out. So I don't want to take anything away from her as far as her being in charge of her health. So that's why I thought, okay, a second Sunday basket would be great because, you know, we can go through it together.
Right.
I'm her POA on things, but power of attorney, but she still has input, obviously. It's her life.
So, I mean, if you can think, Rosa, about if, what if you were still working full time? What if you also had babies that were not fur babies? I mean, these added complexities that most Americans are dealing with. And what if your mom was not an already organized person? And now you're talking about your clients. So your clients are already, you know, working a job to make ends meet. They've got a couple of kids, and now mom has had a stroke and mom was not organized. And they're like, uncle, and they're calling you in. And that's where most of America is. Like, they are, even if they had organizational structure to begin with, kids just blow that out of the water. Like, for me, for everybody, like, kids just blow that out of the water, trying to juggle working for money and household things, especially if you're not in charge of your time. So you have to show up at a certain time and punch out at a certain time and do the whole PTO thing. And then if your parents aren't organized, I mean, those are three big rocks that you're not juggling right now in this, you know, new life experience that you're in.
Right. I have been, gosh, I've been very fortunate, especially with that teaching piece. All I can think is, yes, what would this look like? I can't even think about what that would look like if I had that on top of the other. Like, there's so much navigation of programs and things when you're working with the insurance and things with seniors and all this. That would have been another layer. Absolutely.
And I think that's why, you know, they say that so many women, quote unquote, opted out of the workforce during the pandemic or haven't returned to the workforce after the pandemic. I mean, I know with my own employees here, like, if people don't show up, I'm like, what's going on? They're like, oh yeah, this is the day the bus doesn't run. So apparently there aren't enough bus drivers. So now it's, each district is handling this differently. And you know, you have rolling brownouts and things like that in California for electricity. Well, in Ohio, you have rolling bus outs. Apparently some districts are like, they, you know, you won't have bus service every Thursday. So like, okay, Thursday we have to figure it out because there will be no school bus, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're fine. Another district is like, no, you'll just get a call that morning. Today is the day you have no bus. Great. So then you got, I mean, how do you do this if your employer isn't like, great, work from home. Great. Come in late. Like, I'm pretty laid back about it because I can't even imagine having to deal with it. I'm just glad they show up at all. But not every employer is that way. Not every job is able to have that kind of flexibility. So that's just the reality that someone has to care for the children. Someone has to care for the parents who need support. Uh-huh. And someone needs to make money. And you got to kind of, we're throwing a bunch of balls in the air and figuring out which ones bounce and which ones break, right?
Oh, no, absolutely. I still do in-person organizing also. And one of my newest clients has he's less than a month old, but her motivation is the fact that he's getting older and he's almost mobile. And the first day that we work together, I see him just crawling up the stairs and I was like, wow, he's so fast. How, you know, that's amazing. And she just is standing there saying, that's the first time he's done that. So now her motivation is even that much stronger because
yes,
everything is fair game now that's on the floor. Like, mm-hmm. You know, parents yeah. have their hands full.
Absolutely. Yep. And when those babies are awake and not in a crib, they cannot be not watched. Like, I tried to like multitask when I was watching my grandson for like 5 minutes and it went very badly. I was like, oh, okay. So apparently I'm just babysitting as a grandma. Like, I don't, other than an Insta story, I don't do anything, even though we've childproofed our house because they're just so fast and unpredictable. And so that is the reality for most, that they are juggling a lot of things today without the supports they had in 2019 because they don't exist. I know, I have no idea how the state of Ohio school district got my current email address because I don't have anything in the retirement. Like, when I only taught 4 years in public school and I cashed that out to try to get pregnant, which I did not get pregnant. So maybe not a good investment, but so I don't have anything in the state retirement. They found my current address and they emailed me last week and they were like, don't worry about the fact that your license has expired. We would like you to come back to teaching. I was like, do you know that I quit mid-year also? Like, they're like, we don't care. We know you have a degree. We know you still live in the state. We would like you to come back to teaching because like you also left the teaching industry, like there's a shortage of teachers. There's a shortage of bus drivers. There's just, it is complicated. Like it is complicated. I don't see this complication going away.
No.
So I guess I just want to acknowledge it. Like there's a lot going on, and a professional organizer or a product that helps you feel more organized and in control is more important than ever. No one's coming to save us, Rosa. No one.
No. And you, gosh, I don't know which episode, that was one of the things I remember hearing from you. Like, no one's coming to save you. No one else is going to do this for you.
Right.
That is so true. And that's the thing that so many of the clients that I come into contact with are people that are in, you know, some big transition just hit them over the head. Like you said, they have suddenly, their family got bigger. Their little kid got mobile. They're grieving the loss of a spouse. Something big has happened and they need to find a way to work with that and through that. And again, what I like about your products is that they acknowledge like, hey, life happens. You can plan all you want and planning is important, but things happen to our plans. And so you have to shift and you have to acknowledge that in the planning day with the pie chart of our time, that was amazing because just seeing, hey, just reality, there are only so many hours. There are all these things that we would love to do.
Right.
Can't do them all. You need to pick.
Right. Right. Okay. So you've had some success with the Sunday basket. How has this last year been in getting your home organized? And have you done anything different when you organized it, bringing your mom in?
I've had to shift to more of time management, time and paper versus the home, because I was just getting started on the home piece. Like I got the Sunday basket. I got the Friday workbox. Thank you. Because, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing with business. You know, you're a teacher. My students come to me. I'm not used to drumming up business. That was a whole new thing. So I was working with those two baskets, getting started with the home. And then that's when things were starting with my mom. So home has been on the back burner. I have that hot mess room like everybody else has right now, because it'll still be there and that's fine. Mm-hmm. We'll get to it when we get to it.
So as you're talking about your mom coming and living with you, I haven't had that experience yet. Like, obviously I've been married, I have children, and I have a grandchild living with me, but I haven't had either of our parents coming and living with us. It's been really helpful for me. And since you have like an organizationally minded brain, I wonder how you think about this concept. I love the concept that I created when I was professionally in-home organizing teenagers. And I talked to them about how their bedroom is their mini apartment and all of their stuff is in there and they can have some choices about what they do in their apartment. And then I talked to the parents. And I was like, yeah, you have a condo. Like you have the primary bedroom suite. And so like, that's where your condo is. And I have found for me, since I've had that concept for more than 10 years, this idea that my kids own their bedrooms and they get to have autonomy there. And now, you know, Grayson has his little room. He has his little room with his mom downstairs. And he has his little nursery up in grandma and grandpa's house, because the top of the house is now grandma and grandpa's house. So he comes up there, takes baths up there. And sometimes he spends the night at grandma and grandpa's house overnight. And I'm really trying to use language as if, even though we're in one dwelling, as if we're a bunch of condos and apartments, and like it's a condo and apartment complex. And so when we're in the kitchen, like even certain shelves are designated for different family members because we're all adults. Abby has her own refrigerator in the basement. So I'm like, this has to go to your refrigerator, get it out of our refrigerator, even though we're all cooking in the kitchen. And I think it's a little bit different when you're doing it with your parents, but I mean, your mom is probably going to live with you a long time. Like, so this is going to go out for a long, long time. She's pretty healthy. And so, have you thought at all about what this cohabitating looks like for the next couple of decades?
We are just getting started.
Like Rose is like, Lisa, back it up.
No, there are a lot of things in the dynamics of our relationship. Like the space, I feel pretty good about spaces. She has her own room. Like she has her own room. She has her own bathroom. Spaces, not a problem. Got it. Thanks to you, medical binder. Okay. That's being built. Love that. Thank you so much. Because there's so much to keep track of. And the fact that it's portable is amazing. I think it's the relationship piece, because I'm used to being the kid.
Yeah.
And now I'm, you know, being caregiver, that changes things, but
yeah,
I'm having to, do I need to figure out? I need to get comfortable with her. Like, she has a caregiver that comes in a few hours each day. And so the first day, of course, I'm a control freak. I didn't go anywhere. That's the purpose of having a caregiver, is to free me up so I can leave the house to do jobs. I stayed here. I tried to be in the backyard, not being nosy, but being nosy. This is still new. This is still the first week. So it's getting that comfort level. And I have to remind myself that my mom is an adult. My mom is very capable of advocating for herself. You know, if she needs something, she can tell the caregiver directly. I don't have to run interference for her there. And it's just understanding that you can take care of yourself. Where you need help, I need to back off a little bit and wait until you ask for help. I think that's one of those things.
I know you haven't processed this yet, but I'm sure there are other people listening. And if you're listening and you have processed this, then please come on the Wednesday podcast so we can have this conversation, because it's the reality. Like, reality is, like, 50 years ago, people lived in multi-generational households. Like, it's just how they did. There weren't that many houses and there wasn't that much money. Like, that's just how it was. And now we've gotten so used to this, like, individual families live in individual households. And I'm seeing a lot more on our team. We only have 14 people on our team, and two of them are living, well, if you count me, three of them are living in multi-generational households. And so they're living with their kids and their grandkids voluntarily. Like, this is how we've all decided to do it. I bet this is going to be more of the norm than not. And as baby boomers and the silent generation retire and need to move in with their children or find other living, I think it's really helpful to continually think about your house, not as my house and I own all this and I have to do all this, but this is the size dwelling that we're in. Here are the people that live in this dwelling. How do we want to divide the work and the space? And I personally think it's really, really important that everybody kind of has, like, a safe space or a retreat space where they're allowed to just go and do nothing or listen to the podcast or the TV show they want, like their own space where they don't have to constantly answer to how they're spending their time, what they're doing, what they're reading, what they're looking at. Like you need your own bedroom. You need your own, like, so I go up to my bedroom all the time. I'm like, yep, I'm going to go take a bath. And I sit on my bed for hours and read and do puzzles and whatever. It's like, it's my own space.
Yeah, no, that is very important. And that I had to remind myself, because initially I was, again, all I'm thinking about first is, you know, health and safety. And so I'm right there, not realizing, okay, 24/7 of me, maybe not, you know, maybe that's not needed. Like she, like you said, she needs her own space, her own time to just do whatever she needs to do also.
And to give yourself the permission, you know, what you start to do becomes the habit, that becomes a pattern and what is expected. So do you want to be on 24/7 for two decades? I mean, if she is, you know, capable of doing this on her own and she's living with you for convenience purposes and doesn't need 24/7 attention, then sometimes we give over attention when we don't need to because we want to show our love that way. And so just, I have not been in this experience yet. Like, my mother-in-law has been broken a pelvis, things like that, and been in rehabilitation for a while, but not in our house. And the amount of time Greg went and spent and did that, like, he expected himself every time he was not at work to be with his mom morning and night, the whole entire time. I'm like, do you think all the food's brought to her? Like, she's fine. Like, you can have a night off. Like, and after 6 weeks, he finally took a night off, but it was really hard for him to do that. And so just to have those conversations, like, what is helpful? What isn't helpful? Was your mom living on her own before this alone?
Yes.
She's probably pretty good at entertaining herself then. And that's, like, she doesn't need a camp counselor.
That's the other thing I had to remind myself just a few days ago. Okay. You know, she was on her own beforehand and she didn't have a caregiver, but the same thing, it was a few hours a day, you know, meal prep, that kind of thing helped. But overall, she was, like you said, she was managing her time. She was, goodness knows, she was managing all the appointments and doctors, and she had everything very well laid out and kept track of. So maybe it's a more of an adjustment for me.
And if we go on a totally different rabbit trail, and I mean, I know it's really new to you and I haven't really thought much about this because I haven't had to do it yet, but, you know, Rosa, if this is a long period of time, how do you want to spend time with your mom? Like, I know one of the things Greg does is every Thursday he goes to lunch with his mom and every Sunday she comes over for dinner. And slowly over time, he kind of did that every once in a while. And then it's become like, this is the thing. He sees his mom on Thursday and he sees his mom on Sunday. He likes spending time with her. She likes eating with him. It also gives him a chance to kind of check on her twice a week in person, you know, have his eyes on her and see how she's doing. Whenever she's sick, he brings her all the food. Like he's a very attentive son. He's such a good boy. Gets her her groceries, all the things that she needs. She lives very close to us. But he kind of orchestrated that. He doesn't realize he did, but he did. He orchestrated a weekly lunch with his mom and a Sunday dinner with his mom purposely. Like she did not do it with him. He did it with her. And so are there any things that now that your mom is so close that you haven't had time to do with her, or you both really like movies or puzzles or shopping or crafting or something like that? You'd be like, oh yeah, on Thursday nights, we're going to do this. Or we both really like Chinese, but your husband doesn't like Chinese. So on Monday afternoons, we're going to order in Chinese or something like that. Some of the things, maybe even from your childhood, that could become like a couple of things that you do every week that you both look forward to.
Oh, how funny. Well, today is one of our days. Grew up in California. We are Mexican, so we eat Mexican food. My husband doesn't quite eat as much. Like he'll eat there some, but not as often as I would love. So that's one of the things. And which is funny because I love to eat. I don't cook. So I got lucky. I'm a kept woman. My husband does the grocery shopping. He makes the food. He's also been in Ireland for 2 months.
Wow.
And so there is, I've thrown myself on the mercy of friends who cook. So they brought my food. They're good to me. But today I'm making some enchiladas. Haven't made it before. We're going to see what happens. I can read, right? So there's a recipe. Going to give it a go. But I think that could be one of our mother-daughter things.
So we can Does your mom like to cook? Can she still cook?
She doesn't really, it'd be hard for her now. So I think giving input on, you know, recipe ideas and that kind of stuff will be her way to come in. But I think that would be a fun thing to do.
Yeah. And I think it's all, you know, we get so stuck in the, I have to do this and this is next. And I'm checking off my to-do list. But if you just stop and you think 5 years from now and you look back on the last 5 years, what are some really fun things that you and your mom could have done or habits that you could create now that you'd be like, I'm so glad that I spent my time doing that. Because you're going to spend the time with her either way.
Right. And see, this is why I need you in my life, Lisa. This is why I need you. There was, again, one of the podcasts and there was something specifically to taking care of family members. And I think you were talking about when you were taking care of your dad. And you had mentioned like, okay, if something happens, jump in the car, go. And it was very much reaction. Like since the end of July, I have been a lot in reaction mode, you know, carry a bunch of papers, have stuff ready just in case somebody making a call, whatever. But but then in that podcast, you had mentioned something about, okay, take a step back and see like, is this going to last for 3 weeks? Is this a short-term thing? Is this going to last for longer? And that just really stuck with me because I thought, oh, okay. Like you said, you're going 100 miles an hour and all I think about is checklists. Like I think in boxes and I think about what do I need to do? But I don't take time. And that's where I need to listen to you more. I don't take time to think ahead to be like, okay, the time's going to pass anyway. When I look back on it, I don't want to be like, oh, good. I checked all these boxes.
Yes. Yeah. You are 100% going to take care of your mother's finances, health, everything. Like no doubt about it. You are going to do it and you are going to get an A+. Like you are everyone who is, you guys are all doing a great job. Caregiving is the hardest thing to do for adults. I mean, it's mind numbing to do it for toddlers, but it's really, really hard to do it for your parents because they are not your children. They are, you know, adults with their own autonomy and all of that. And you don't know how long it's going to be like with children, you know, like they're going to get to a certain age. You don't know what's around the corner. You're juggling all these other things. And it's so isolating. Being a caregiver is so isolating. I remember when we finally allowed Embrace to be done virtually, a couple of people emailed me and said, thank you so much, because I haven't been able to leave my home for 5 years because I take care of both of my parents and I can't leave for more than like 90 minutes. I never thought of that. And so it is really, really, it's hard. And I don't think it's talked about a lot in normal circles until you find other caregivers. And then when you do lose a parent, that's really hard too. And again, that's not really talked about in a lot of circles. So the time's going to pass and you are going to get it. You're going to do a great job. So while you're doing it, what else? And so, like you said, when my father was hospitalized the first time, it was 8 months before he passed. But every time he was hospitalized or I was called home, I had that 3.5 hour drive home and I'm running through all the things I need to do for my sister, for my dad, for his house, for his business, for all those things. But I also thought to myself, this could be the last time. Like every time he could pass before I get there, this could be the last time I see him. I'm going to drive home another 4 hours when I'm done. I may not get back in time the next time. And I would ask myself, what more would I want to ask him? What more would I want to know? What more experiences can I have? Even if, you know, in a hospital room, maybe not ideal. My dad was pretty fun and funny. So he made everything as good as could possibly be. But like, tell me one more story. Or I remember when he was in hospice the week that he passed, I finally went through some of the things in his bedroom, like his jewelry box and a couple other things. And I took the little drawer out and I brought it to him where he was. I said, tell us about all this. It was like all of his jewelry was in there. And he's so funny. He had like a cutting board, a wooden cutting board. And then we put the jewelry box on there. And he had this little hammer, like this hammer that if you unscrewed it, it had all these things in it. I don't know where the hammer came from. All of a sudden he has a hammer. So he's hitting the cutting board with the hammer. Okay, we're going to talk about the jewelry. And he goes, this is trash. And this is trash. And this is really important. He starts to go through all of this jewelry with us. And the things that I thought were valuable were trash. He's like, this is from like a dime store. Like, and so it was like immediately he just removed all the things that were trash and the things that were really important. But then he got to tell us the stories about where those things came from. And those are the things that you don't get later after people pass. So I love, you're going to spend the time anyway. Go through the jewelry, go through the photos, go through the knickknacks, tell me the story about where you got this tchotchke thing and why do you still have this sweater from 20 years ago? And what, like all the stories, like I just love to hear all the stories. In our family, we have, we pass down a lot of jewelry. My great, great grandfather was a purser on a ship. And so sometimes he would get jewelry from that. And that's how my great, great grandmother have these gigantic aquamarines was because he had this job, which like, it's so funny that you have this. And so you have these stories. And then for my grandmother, every piece of jewelry my grandmother had, she bought because my grandfather did something with his antique or her model cars. Every time he went and spent money on a car, she took an equal amount of money and she went and she bought jewelry. And so she could tell me every piece of jewelry that she got, where she got it, why she got it, or where they were. I have a necklace that is was an opal ring that I turned into a necklace because it would have been way too big as a ring. And she got that on her honeymoon. So just, you know, those kinds of stories, they live on. And then you could tell future generations and other people in your family, those stories. And it's a great way to pass time because the time is going to pass either way. You could talk about the weather. You could talk about the sports. You could talk about the election if you want to, but also you could pull out photos and you could talk about, you said your family is from Mexico, find out the stories about Mexico and the recipes and find the old recipes and make the recipes. And just, I think she would really like it. I think you would really like it.
Wonderful. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. Cause there are photos. Everyone has those photos, but yes, I have photos that I don't know the
story
behind. That would be perfect.
Yeah. And then I think also for the parents that are in part of this conversation, they are then able to give back. Like they're able to give you their memories, their stories, their values, their heritage. And so they're not just taking, they're also giving, and it becomes much more reciprocal and empowering for them also. All right. Well, Rosa, do you have a workbox story you want to share with us?
Oh my goodness. What is my, on the Friday workbox, the whole pink, the leads and you, the way you explain how the pink feeds into the purple. Mm-hmm. I really needed to hear that because
yeah,
starting out in business, obviously my focus is on the purple because that's where, okay, I'm getting clients and that's great. But realizing that when I'm having a really good week, I still need to be planning about having another busy week and what I need to do to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, working on that, the lead generation and networking and oh goodness, networking. But yeah.
You're going to be great. You're going to be great. So think about it this way, because you're a teacher. So the lesson plans and your students are your purple. The pink is when you come up with all the ideas and the ways that you're going to teach the lessons. Like when you dream about like, oh, I could teach it this way, or I could teach it this way, or I could add this manipulative in, or I could add this story in. That's the same for your professional organization business. Like you're so excited to organize with your clients. Then the pink is finding people and talking to them about their stories and then seeing how you can help them actually get the organizing done.
Analogy.
Yeah.
Bring it back to the teaching. That's good enough.
Yeah. So teaching and how we run schools, how we run businesses, and how we run households all have benefits and deficits. And if we could pull the best from all three of those scenarios, we get like an optimal work schedule. Because there's some things that we do in schools that we don't do in work and we don't do in home. And I don't know why. Like the thing that schools do the best is all your materials always go back to the same place, right? And when you're ready to start school, like start a new year, start a new semester, start a new class, you get a syllabus of what's expected of you. You know what all the things are going to be that we need to do by the end of that class. You have a supply list. We buy the supplies. We use the supplies. Like at work, they're like, hi, here's your desk. But yet you don't have a pen, like, or you don't have a note, like you don't necessarily have the supplies, or the job description is constantly changing. At home, they're like, okay, well, we'd like you to do all of this work, but we don't want you to buy any of supplies. And we don't want to give you any more time. And we don't want to give you any help. Like you're like, okay, so I'm going to just manufacture this out of thin air. Like in all, we should have supplies. We should have a good job description. Yeah, we should just kind of be moving these things into all of the realms that we do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that you are in a very pivotal time in your life, switching careers, switching identities, switching how you use your space. Is there anything you wish that you knew sooner, or any advice that you would give to anyone who's just getting started on their organizing journey?
I would say to just step imperfectly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that person who likes to, I'd love to know as much ahead of time. I want to know how things are going to play out before I do the first thing, so I can expect the second thing. And that hurts, but life isn't like that. And you can look ahead and you can get advice, and there are certain things you can know or expect. But the thing I'm telling myself is to plan my week in pencil, but then to live it in ink.
Nice.
Like, okay, like I had a thought and now things have changed. So like just the ink is, I'm going to make the best choice I can right now with the information I've got.
Mm-hmm. Great. Rosa, thank you so much for coming on the Organize 365 podcast. You said that you are a certified organizer in Arizona.
Yes, I do professional in-home organizing, and now I'm through Organize 365. I've also become Paper Solutions certified since October at that great retreat. That was exciting.
And what's the name of your business?
My business is called A Home for Everything, using the number 4. And I can be found, my website is ahomeforeverything.com. And I'm also on Instagram, A Home for Everything LLC. And yes, I'm excited to work with people. What I love about the paper is I want to get back into that, scratch that teaching itch.
Yeah.
To work with people and give that support and the ongoing, not just the one time we've worked on a space together and then I don't see them, but to have that ongoing relationship with clients, because support is a big deal.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, as they're learning the skill of organizing, they do need one-on-one and small group support. And that's why I started the certification program before there was even a physical Sunday basket, is because I know as a teacher, like you do need community, you need support, you need to get your questions answered, you need to be encouraged and motivated. And Rosa, we're so excited to have you in the certification program with us.
All righty. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for having me on today.
Thanks, Rosa.